We're sisters, best friends, and authors on a mission to help you stoke your creative fire and live the life of your dreams. We believe that purpose fuels passion and that creativity is your secret weapon for mass construction. There's never been a better time to bless the world with your dream realized. You're listening to The Kate and Abby Show. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of The Kate and Abby Show. Today, we're talking about publishing in 2022, how to publish your novel, whether you are publishing, whether you're going indie publishing or you're going traditional. Doesn't matter. Everything that we talk about in this episode today is going to be applicable to any avenue of publishing that you are exploring. And in this episode, we're going to discuss how to create a realistic timeline for 2022 so that you can get your book out there, sharing it with the world, and making your author dreams come true in a coherent timeline, figuring out what the process involves, what is ahead of you, and how can you schedule it into your life and manage all of the parts and pieces so that you can accomplish your goals this year and publish your book, get out there in the world. So that's what we're breaking down in today's episode. Kate and I are going to come at it from different perspectives and share our experiences with publishing. We are both indie authors, and we're really excited to share some good advice and information with you guys. But first, we have to thank our sponsors, who are you guys. You're the ones who support this show and keep it going, and we couldn't do it without you, so thank you so, so much. If you get value out of this podcast, go to patreon.com/thekateandabbyshow and help us keep this show alive and free of interruptions. Okay, so we're going to break this discussion into like three parts: the beginning, the middle, and the end.
Yeah.
The different stages, basically,
of the publishing process. This is a big topic. This is so broad, and we're going to try to like, we're hoping this is going to be like a crash course for you guys to get a taste of everything, but definitely dig back through Abby's videos, dig back through these podcast episodes, because we have so many hours of us talking about this stuff, and digesting all of it's going to help you so much on your journey.
Yeah.
And this video, you'll notice, is, you know, about how to publish in 2022, and that is not at all just clickbait because everyone's saying 2022 on their videos right now. This is such a changing landscape. The publishing landscape is constantly changing. So that's why we're dating this, because this is applicable for right now. This industry is changing so much. Even from when I published my first book in 2017, it's changed rapidly. It's amazing. But we're going to start off, like Abby was saying, with things to consider / questions to ask yourself in the pre-publishing stage. So this is a really important place to be. Before you have published, you're in the pre-publishing phase. What you do now is going to be so important in setting yourself up for success with your book.
Yeah. And also with goals, just in general, when you are figuring out your goals for the new year, I know a lot of writers have the goal of publishing a novel or publishing their first book or whatever the case may be, publishing in 2022. And it's an ambitious goal and it's a good goal to have. But realistically, you have to consider how much time it will take you to pursue the path of publishing that you are considering and that you are going down with your book. And realistically, can that actually happen?
Right.
So I know it's exciting to think about that, but realistically, you have to reverse engineer it and figure out how much time is this really going to take. And in this whole episode, we're going to be discussing everything involved. So you will be able to wrap your head around at least a general idea of what does this involve. Regardless of what path you're taking, whether you're going indie or going traditional, this process is going to involve a lot of work on your part as far as editing, cleaning up your manuscript, managing the different aspects of what your manuscript has to go through, the various processes that your manuscript has to go through before it is able to be read by the public, and things like ARC readers and publicizing your book organically or through paid promotion, mostly organic publicity, and getting the word out about your book. Those are all things that I think
you don't immediately think of when you think about publishing a book.
Right.
You think of, oh, I have to have the book written. Yeah. I have to have it edited. And then it has to go off to a press somewhere. And that's...
Yeah.
That those are the first few things I think that you think of.
Yeah, I agree. Because if you're going independent, you're thinking, okay, how do we get this book published? And we're super focused on that. And then once it's out there, then we figure out, okay, how do we get it into people's hands? How do we promote it now? So it's kind of this linear thought process. And then on the flip side of that coin, for many authors who are seeking to be traditionally published by a publishing house, it's kind of like that doesn't even occur to you necessarily for many authors, because it's more of this thought process of the publishing house is going to promote my book for me, and it's going to find readers for me. They're gonna take my book, they're gonna publish it, they're gonna put it on their website and in newsletters and things, and people who want to read it will find it and buy it. Which may have been true 10 years ago, but is really not the case now. And I know a lot of this from discussions Abby and I have had and discussions I've had with my agent and with publishing companies, because I'm technically a hybrid author in that my audiobooks are traditionally published. So it's kind of given me a unique perspective, and Abby and I both, because we've discussed it so much, and Abby's been involved with, you know, getting my audiobooks ready too. Like, me and Abby are right together all the time, so we're kind of going through these things together and discussing them all the time. And what a lot of publishing houses, mine included, that did my audiobooks will say to authors is that, you know, okay, what's your audience like? What are the numbers on your social media platforms? How many people do you have in your email list? They want all this data ahead of time before they sign anything, before any agreements are made. They want to see what sort of data you have as an author. What kind of following do you have as an author? Are you super active on social media or with your email? Are you kind of getting your stuff together is what they want to know. What is your audience? What is it like? What's the data? They really want to have that ahead of time, much like how like Abby and I are familiar with, like when someone wants to sponsor you on YouTube, which I to this day, I haven't had a sponsor. Abby hasn't had sponsors either. But a lot of times what sponsors will say is like they're there to make a sort of business agreement, and they'll ask you like, hey, what's your audience like? What are your numbers? To see if it's going to be worth their while to invest in you. And that's what publishing houses are looking for too. It's the same thing. If we publish your book, do you have an audience for us? Because many publishing houses readers don't really follow publishing houses like they do authors and influencers.
The brutal truth about traditional publishing is that traditional publishing houses sell books. That is the product that they carry, and they see it as a product, which is not a bad thing.
Right.
So when an author comes on their radar who has a lot of customers already.
It's like
that adds
cool,
to our
great.
Customers.
Yes.
And if you could see it in a physical representation, it would be like a store with all of your audience waiting in line out front, waiting to get in the door. Now, the more people that are waiting out front that the author has brought, the happier the store is.
Exactly.
But the store is selling your product. Yeah. And there are so many different elements that go into the decision-making process of signing with a traditional publisher, which we won't even go into today because
it's overwhelming. It could be like three episodes.
But you have to see it as a product, okay? Right. When you sign a contract, you're making a one-time decision with your book or possibly with a series of books, depending on your situation, that you are selling over this book or this series for this store, essentially, you could imagine as to sell as their product. And of course, they give you a commission or a royalty, but it's
a transaction.
It's a transaction. You know,
they're buying the rights to something, whether it's your print rights, your audiobook rights, film rights, whatever it is. Hey, we want to buy this so that we can primarily make a profit off of it, and you'll make some too. So it's just important to go into these decisions with a really clear concept of what's happening. Because I think in today, especially, I think there's just a lot of misconceptions about what the function of a publishing house is. Mm-hmm. And it's important to have a really clear head about what's actually taking place before you make a decision on what you want to do with your unique craft, with your unique project, rather.
Right. Also taking into consideration that even if you do get signed with a publisher, you won't necessarily get the most promotion for your book versus other books that they are selling mm-hmm. that season or that quarter. So there are so many aspects to consider there. But in my opinion, indie publishing is the path to go because you have the freedom to build that line of people waiting outside the store, and they can come to you directly. They don't have to go to the store. Yes, you will also get the customers who go to that store, and if they put it right front and center as soon as you walk in the door, you might get a lot more new readers. But would you also have the opportunity to find those readers on your own? Yes. Absolutely, because those people exist. Those people are out there, so you just have to get in front of them. You just have to get people talking about it in their space, and now suddenly they're interested. Now suddenly a lot of people are interested. A lot of people are talking about it, and that gains the attention of people in higher places, so to speak.
And the thing that's amazing is now, in 2022, you have so many more opportunities to do that than you have ever before. Because there are so many more avenues that are open now to building your own platform and reaching your unique reader than there ever have been in history.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
That's a question that so many writers ask me is, when should I start telling people about the book I want to publish or the book I'm writing? When should I start talking about and trying to promote my book? And my answer is always as soon as possible. Because like you said at the beginning, most people think publishing linearly as in I have to do all the back work, I have to do all the preparation, get the physical product printed. Okay, we're talking about indie publishing. If you're doing it yourself, you have to get the physical product printed. You have to set it up so that it's distributed to retailers. But now what? If you build it, they won't come. You have to build an audience. You have to build the people, your readers, your reader base who will come and want to partake of this book.
And it doesn't even have to be hundreds of thousands of people. I think a lot of authors get daunted by the fact that maybe they're not into social media, which I can relate to. I'm not either. But that should give you guys hope because I'm not, me and Abby are on social media all the time. We're very, very sparse and mindful about how we use social media. So you don't have to be living on the computer to build an audience, and you don't need hundreds of thousands of people on a YouTube channel or an Instagram account. If you are just authentic and sharing what you are comfortable with sharing your process, you're going to build an audience of some size. And when you create loyal fans and friends and followers within that niche, those people will turn into your readers. And you really don't need hundreds of thousands in order to build a really solid writing career. I know many successful authors who do not have that, who have a very successful writing career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the thing is, it grows. It's growing all the time. It grows exponentially most of the time.
But like when you're starting out, you don't have to panic.
Right. Yeah. But it's never too soon to start talking about your projects. Right. Never too soon to start sharing about what you're working on, even if it's still in the rough draft stage. But do look at the big picture here and be realistic with your goals. And if it becomes a case of you might not be able to reach the place where you're actually publishing it this year, that's okay, because you can still make major progress on it. And maybe you have to take a little bit more time in order to build up the hype, build up the conversation. That is something that you can do even if you don't have a huge social media following. Even if you don't have a lot of people, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you start talking about it and creating conversation about your book in the circles of the internet, as I like to call them, or in the tribes, the internet tribes, where you know your book will be a success. So you don't have to dominate the entire internet. You don't have to get every person to love your book, because spoiler alert, not every person will love your book. It's just a given. There's no book that every single person loves. But there are enough people out there, enough readers waiting that are going to love your book when they meet it. And the key there is to create conversation. And I love to use the term create conversation because it's not about how much money you throw behind advertising or promotion. It's not about what publishing house signs you or what publishing house reaches out to you or what agent you get. None of that matters as much as creating conversation. And you can do that for free. You can start doing that right now. And that is single-handedly what I have used again and again over the years to build my brand to where it is today, is going through the effort of creating conversation by reaching out to the right people, by making friends, making different connections in the blogging world, in the YouTube realm, and continuing to create content and build that community.
Right.
Around what
there
you
are
do.
So many free tools. Like, that would actually be a great episode. You guys can comment on the YouTube version of this episode and let us know if that's something you'd be interested in, because we could do a whole episode about just the free things you can do to create conversation around your book, because Abby is like expert level in this, and I'm like kind of keeping up a little bit, like tortoise and hare style. But yeah, I mean, there's so many things you can do that don't cost any money. You don't have to have a budget set aside. It's not like, oh, I have to go to these expensive places and try to get bloggers to write it. I've done some of those things and they had no results. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing, is creating organic content and organic discussion around something is, I would say, 10 times more valuable than anything paid, any kind of promotional thing you can do. Organic content is so valuable.
Absolutely.
Which part two we want to enter into here is must-haves for publishing. Mm-hmm.
The technicalities.
What
you need
needs
a clean
to be done.
Script.
Right. Regardless of avenues here, no matter how you're going to publish.
That's really step one, is mm-hmm. having a book that is edited, it is clean, you're proud of it, it is polished, and it is ready to meet some people.
Yes.
Whether those people are your beta readers, your ARC readers, or an agent, it doesn't matter. Your book has to be in the best format possible. And we've made several episodes about editing, about finding a good editor, about finding beta readers. So go back and listen to those episodes. You'll get a lot of value out of them. But the technical aspect of publishing is very important for you to be involved in personally mm-hmm. as the author. It's not just, I wrote this messy thing, I'm going to push it off to somebody else, the publishing house will take care of it. No, they will not. They might find you an editor, but the editor is going to have a really hard time working through a very rough manuscript. Right. So self-editing is a must.
Yeah, and a lot of publishing houses now too, I've heard from agents, are looking for manuscripts that are already edited. That are already done and dusted.
Yeah.
And it's important. And it also gives you more control over what's happening. So, and the publishing house may then want to still make edits and stuff, but it's going to be far easier if they have a manuscript that's already really nice and clean. Yeah. And like you were just saying, one of the first things that happened when I connected with my agent about the audiobook for Searching for Sparrow, one of the first things he asked was, well, send me the manuscript. I'd like to take a look at it. And I'm like, it's not edited yet. And I wished it had been edited, because it would have been much easier read. I had to send him a manuscript that was rough. I'm like, this is rough because it hasn't been edited yet. And it made me think, man, I wish it had already been edited, because it'd be much easier for an agent to breeze through it without having to wade through any arduous, messy bits. That if an agent wants to get a feel for your writing, hey, send me the manuscript. You don't want to have that stress, sweat moment like I did of, oh, it's not even edited yet. Right. Just squint a little and tilt your head and you'll see what I mean. You know what I mean? So have it edited. Find an editor that works for you. And then another question that I think both of us get respectively a lot, and I'll let you answer this first, is do you really need a proofreader?
Yes. Yes, because your editor is human and you are human, and you have no idea how many times you've read the same typo over and over again and not seen it.
Isn't that annoying?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Like huge typos I found that I read 100 times, you read 100 times, our editor read 100 times, and then the proofreader will wave her magic wand and point out, oh, hey, do you want to fix that over there?
What? Wow. I didn't even see that.
I've had my proofreader, who is also your proofreader, we have the same proofreader, she's magical, point out, whoa, like this is a pothole right here. And I'm like, whoa, how did I miss that?
Everyone missed it.
Everyone missed it.
Three or four people missed it.
So it's important because it's fresh eyes. Also, proofreaders are such organized, sharp people. Like, yeah. So precise. It's amazing to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I aspire to that.
It will add this finishing touch of professionalism.
Yes.
Which is so important, especially if you're going indie and you're doing all of this on your own. You really can't do it on your own. You have to gather the right people to get these certain specific jobs done. And when you do, once you're finished, you will have a manuscript that you can be really proud of, that you can set next to a traditionally published book and feel like it comes up to that professional standard that you were dreaming about. So all of those technical things come into play. Formatting is another thing. That's a whole other 5-hour long podcast for another time.
But the great thing about formatting is, like Abby can attest to this huge, is you can learn how to do that.
Oh yeah.
So if you're like, hey, I'm on a budget, this is my first book, I don't have a ton of money to spend on this, but I really want to make this happen, then budget for an editor and a proofreader, and then you can probably do the rest yourself.
Yeah. Like, there will be little fees involved with certain things, such as if you're using Ingram Spark, there's setup fees and stuff like that, but they're not outrageous at all. It's like $25.
It's going to be way less than hiring someone who will do a one-time
job.
You're
right. Other than that, other than the editor and the proofreader, you can basically do everything yourself, which is why I never know how to reply to the question when someone asks me, how much does it cost to indie publish? Because that's such a broad answer,
right?
Depending on what you're willing to do yourself. When I published 100 Days of Sunlight, I made the cover art, I made the jacket art, I did all the formatting myself, and that was a bunch of work that I didn't have to pay someone else to do.
Right.
So if I had all of that together, could have been easily over $1,000 or more. And because I didn't, it saved me money, but I also had to obviously put more time into it.
All right, so it really depends on like how much time you want to give to it and what your skill set is.
Yeah.
What you're comfortable using. If you're like super tech savvy, there's going to be a lot you're capable of doing.
Yes, exactly. But all of these things have to be factored into the timeline. When you're thinking about your whole year and you're looking at these 12 months ahead of you, you have to consider all of the steps involved, no matter what path you're taking, if you're going traditional or indie. Obviously, with indie, there's way more work to be done on your part, but you can hire specialists to do some of this for you, or you can take it on yourself. You can learn anything you set your mind to. I can attest to that. I've done that many, many times, and I highly recommend that you do as well if you feel ambitious enough to do that. But either way, you are going on a long journey, so have perseverance and don't rush, because it's not worth rushing through.
Right.
Especially when it comes to the, like we were talking about, creating conversation about your book. You don't want to rush to the point where, okay, I have something out there, but it's not perfect, or it's not polished, it's not professional, but it's done. You know?
Right.
That's not necessarily a good thing.
You want to wait till you feel confident.
Something, yeah, something that you're proud of. And
yeah.
then also had taken the time to create organic promotion, create conversation about your book. And so when you finally do publish it and it's available for people to buy, there is that line waiting outside the store that I talked about at the beginning of this episode. And you have a base of readers who are excited about your book.
Right. Which kind of takes us into our wrap up last point here, which is how to promote your book in 2022. Like, so some of the top things that you can do, like Abby's saying, creating this organic conversation, get that started as soon as possible. Even if you're still in the writing process, you can be promoting your book. Mm-hmm. Because you did that with 100 Days. You had some really unique takes on how you promoted that.
Yeah. I didn't know what I was doing when I was doing it. I was just trying to talk about it as much as possible, and I was really excited for it, and I wanted to share that excitement and have this experience with my community to share the experience and to get other people excited about it as well, obviously. Even if that was as simple as just snapping a photo for my Instagram story of my messy manuscript as I was editing it, or whether I was going through the cover art design process, whatever the case was, I was always looking for ways to talk about it, to promote it, to just invite more conversation about it and share about it as much as possible. And that's something you can never start that too soon, in my opinion.
People love to see the process too.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be authentic with it. You don't have to feel like, oh, I have to wait until I'm like this published author who's super polished.
People don't care about that.
I have, you know, someone making graphics for me. No one cares.
They want to see the raw you.
The real you. Yeah, yes. For sure.
They want to see the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
The authentic version. And what
that's what people can relate to.
Yeah. What you can do right now to move towards publishing this year is start with where you're at. Where are you? Take stock of where you're at with your manuscript, whether it's a rough draft, a second draft, a fourth draft, or whether you have a polished manuscript that has already been through a professional edit. Wherever you are, what's the next step? Figure out your next action step and break that down into smaller tasks and work on one of those tasks every single day. Move towards your publishing goals. Don't stress yourself out too much with deadlines. If you have control over your deadlines, as I said in my video recently about your publishing goals or your writing goals, don't push yourself and pressure yourself so much that you take the joy out of it, but do take action every week. Make steps forward towards your writing goals. You'll be glad that you did. And find joy in the journey. That's the most important thing.
So important.
So yeah, hopefully you guys got some good stuff out of this episode. I know it's a big topic, kind of overwhelming. Kate and I are going to be breaking down these smaller topics about publishing in this year. We're going to be doing more episodes about specifics of publishing, and
not to mention we're working towards publishing a book together. Yes. So we're gonna have some really unique stories to share with you guys. And I know a lot of you have requested some stuff on co-authoring, publishing as co-writers, and what that looks like. So we'll be delving into a lot of this more in depth for sure. Yeah,
very exciting stuff. We can't wait to share the book series with you guys.
Yeah, we're enjoying
it. So much fun.
Oh my gosh, it's gonna be awesome.
Yes,
me and Abby are having a ball with it. Too much fun.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, stay tuned for all of that good stuff coming at you very soon. If you liked this episode, smash the like button if you're on YouTube. If you're not, go visit Kate's YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/KAEmmons. And also visit my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AbbyEmmons. I have a ton of writing videos on that channel every single Wednesday. And thank you guys so much for listening to the show. If you get value out of it, again, go to patreon.com/thekateandabbyshow and help us out. Help us keep this podcast alive and free of interruptions. We love you guys so much. Thank you for being here, and we will see you in the next one. Until then,
stay stoked
and rock on.